This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan Linden, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk, movies, video games, comic books, TV. We usually cover that kind of stuff on Geekscape. We've been doing the show for a bit. Maybe you've been with us. Maybe this is your first Geekscape. Either way, welcome. I love having you here. I like talking to you over the expanse of the internet, and it makes me feel a little less alone. We've built quite the community here at Geekscape. We've got the 91 Donkey Lane Boys on their podcast that is reaching their 100th episode right here on the Geekscape Network, and we're going to have Bacon and Nate on to talk all about it. They're an improvised show, and they're hilarious. So I think you'll agree with me when we get those boys on the show. I did invite the $2 late guys on the show, but they had some stuff come up. So we were about to have like a serious five-dude insanity man party, middle-aged man party here on Geekscape. And that would have been fun, but we'll just have the $2 late fee guys on later. The Geekscape Podcast Network keeps growing. Speaking of which, Don and Lee from Saturday Morning Showdown are in Los Angeles, and I took them to lunch today. We caught up. They're in town from Philadelphia and took a little vacation before Lee starts a brand new job. So congratulations on the new job, Lee. Listen to their podcast, Saturday Morning Showdown. They talk about all the Saturday morning cartoon shows that we loved as kids. So if you get that nostalgic itch, let's see, we got $2 late fee for you. If you like action, like if you like 80s movies, if you like action movies, you got to go to Bulletproof Action. That's our action podcast. If you like comedy, you got 91 Donkey Lane. We got all sorts of stuff here at the network. But it was good to see Don and Lee today and talk some Saturday morning cartoons. And it's going to be good to have Bacon and Nate on, and I have no idea what we'll talk about because they do an improvised show. So maybe we have subjects. Please subscribe to Geekscape on any of your favorite podcatchers, wherever you listen to your podcasts. I do want to thank you for listening to Geekscape every week. We've got a really big episode coming up in 2 weeks. I know you thought that our Bat Week was huge 2 weeks ago, where we had the executive producer of the Batman film, Michael Uslan on. And we talked about Batman. Ian and I, we did our Batman special. But this one, you're going to have to circle the calendar for this one. We've got Ian and I, we're going to go see Jared Leto in Morbius. So that one's going to be great. And you know what? I'm not going to doubt Sony, but they say the brand new Marvel legend arrives. I don't think Marvel Comics has ever called Morbius a Marvel legend. But Sony's doing it. So look forward to that. Hit the subscribe, share with your friends, and be like, these two idiots are going to go see Morbius. That ought to be fun. All right. Enough with the silliness. Let's get to Geekscape. Here we go. All right, Geekscape, it's time for Jonathan to start the show. I almost talked about myself in the third person. 15 years. Why would I start being able to do this now? I do want to say, though, that the Geekscape produced short film El Rey is at the Malibu Film Festival this week. I almost forgot that one. You can actually watch it online by going to Xolo.org. That's XOLO.org. And Xolo is like this little streaming service, and they got the Malibu Film Festival films there. You'll find El Rey. And it's like $4.99 to watch their films for a week, but there's a free week. And the festival only lasts till the 27th, and then you can't watch it anymore. So I say go to Xolo.org, go to the Malibu Film Festival page, sign up for their free week, scroll down to El Rey or any of those films from the Malibu Film Festival, and watch our 9-10 minute little movie El Rey that it has a nice fat Geekscape logo at the front end of it, because my Geekscape partner George Callert and I put that movie together, and you might even see some Geekscape characters in there. So that's there. Let me get to the comments real quick. Frank Bowen, I miss Frank. Frank's great. I used to write some of the video game dialogue with Frank way back in the video game days. He says the Expanse finale, final season was so-so. I'm sorry about that, Frank. Matt Kelly says need more man meat. He's never met a microphone he didn't like. Frank also says he misses Saturday morning cartoons. When are they coming back? I don't know, man. I think we aged out of it. I mean, where are you Saturday mornings? I think there's so many cartoon channels now. Ruben Oleg Sweet says, I haven't been to a man party in over a decade. Have some fun for me. Don't forget the lube. You know what? Teach their own. Lube, no lube, whatever we want to do. I'll leave that to Bacon and Nate. Rob Larrabee says Jared Leto is actually doing better with Marvel than DC. I will be able to tell you that in about a little over a week. Let's not count our chickens quite yet, brother. One of the Facebook users says, didn't you have a film in Malibu last year? I think that's how I found y'all. I did not. The last time we had a film in Malibu was Gay by Dawn in 2005, but we did have Chasing Fletcher Allen in festivals last year. That was a Geekscape film. We got to get that thing up for y'all to watch. Okay, that's enough. You can leave comments if you want, but I got a show to do. Okay, these are the two guys from 91 Donkey Lane. They've got their 100th episode coming up, so you really should go find them on any podcast app and subscribe to 91 Donkey Lane. It's insane, and I'll let the boys describe it to you. We got Bacon and Nate here.
Just a bunch of dudes sitting around listening to some old dude music.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with any of that.
Oh, hey, sorry, we're just jamming out.
Hey, no, that's fine. You guys do you, and I, you know what? I'm glad to be invited to your deal.
Oh, yeah, geez, definitely. Yeah, guest of honor. Yeah.
Thank you for coming to our man meat party. Just want everyone to know, to start off right off the bat, we are anti-lube.
Yeah, no lube, please.
We think it ruined, no lube. I think natural lube.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
What's the excuse you used to have in college? I just want to feel you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're starting out on a high note.
Right here.
We're starting out on a high note here.
You see, you know what? We're going to get the audience back, though.
Yeah. You see those people who turned it off. They're going to be like, you know what? That'll accidentally start playing once I finish a podcast that I was already listening to.
Like, what a dumb, irresponsible little hornball we used to all be back in our college days to say something like that irresponsible. And I don't think I ever said that. I think I was actually a Boy Scout and was like, wait, you want to? I was just happy to be at the party. Like, you know, she could have been like, could you just be across the room and dance while I do this? Like, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm just glad to be near a girl. But yeah.
And how'd that work usually?
You know what? I finally hit my stride.
Yeah.
Hey, I finally hit my stride for a while. Yes. Yes. We have a wedding date.
Congratulations. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. But let's talk about you guys. Speaking of big numbers and anniversaries and things like that, 100 episodes.
Yeah.
91 Donkey Lane. Like, there's some more episodes than that, though, right? You'll have like specials and things like that. These are the numbered episodes.
Well, I mean, you can call it a 100th episode if you want to downplay things, but I think, you know, it's our 20th, fifth episode
spectacular.
And once again, we're going to say it to everybody out on the Geekscape network, anybody who listens, Ira Glass, how many do you have? How many fifth episode spectaculars do you have, Ira Glass?
We have more.
We have 20. Hold on. Let me check the internet.
Ira Glass has zero.
Zero. Zero for Ira Glass. So there you go. Suck on that, Ira Glass. And you know what? I don't want you to return my call anymore.
So that joke, you know how that so
the in fifth case, episodes,
yeah, we lost the, like, in case anybody's wondering, we call every fifth episode a fifth episode spectacular
because Nate goofed
in the fifth episode. I said it was a spectacular, and so we just kept going.
Yeah, he like just in conversation, in like improvising, you were just like, yep, and this is our first fifth episode spectacular. Mm-hmm. And so then
so
we've
this
had
is our 20th,
so we're on our 20th.
How did you guys meet? You know, I know both of you guys, and like, obviously I've listened to the show and I think it's effing hilarious, but like, how did y'all meet each other?
Was it the Boston Improv Festival?
Yeah. The first time? So we had a friend that we had a mutual friend we both did comedy with, and the guy lived here in Boston. He went to an Alaskan comedy festival. Bacon happened to be at the same festival, so they became friends.
In Alaska.
We went to the Juneau Improv Festival in Juneau, Alaska. And
is that a big deal? Or
no.
it's like, what?
There were a lot of people there. We were the only team from Chicago. Uh-huh. And then they were the only team from Boston.
Yeah.
And really, we just did it to be like, hey, as a group of friends, let's go on vacation together. And then we'll also do an improv show, you know, do a couple improv shows, and it'll, you know, be a tax write off, I guess.
So they connect in Alaska. About a year later, Bacon comes to Boston. I've heard all about him, you know, and everyone kept telling me you guys would be awesome. You'd be great friends if you met. So we did a show up here, and we've pretty much been friends ever since.
We hit it off.
These are stage shows. These are stage improv.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we performed like the first time I met you. I think the longest I talked to you was on stage for the first time. Right? Like we did a show together.
Yeah, we pretty much just been doing bits since then. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever had a real conversation.
No, I don't. Still, I don't know if he has any brothers or sisters. Don't know.
Have you had that?
He's not
situation.
My wedding.
Have you had that situation happen where you end up like on stage and everything, the chemistry is great, but then the second you get off stage and the person goes back into their
mode, they're just like, what?
This is a pod person.
Some of my favorite people to perform with are people that I've never really actually talked to outside, because they're just you have a different stage persona, and sometimes you just fit with somebody, and then just have different.
A lot of times too, like you have this opposite thing where the opposite person, you have this great chemistry on stage, right? And you get off and you realize, oh, we're opposite everywhere. Mm-hmm. This is you almost like don't like them off stage.
Yeah.
I know that's happened to me before.
But hey man, great show, but I gotta go join these truckers.
Yeah, we're gonna ride around DC and
gotta go.
Cool. All right.
You have fun
great
there.
Show. Thanks again.
I have a very not nice joke that I do with new people, and I shouldn't do it with new people, but I do it with new people because I may never see them again, and I'm almost guaranteeing that I don't. My producer is a member of the TV Academy, and he took me to this event last Tuesday at the TV Academy, and they have food and stuff, and they showed they were doing it for this Apple Plus show, Acapulco, which is it was good. It's a good show. I have not started watching it, but they show the pilot. They have the cast come and do a Q&A. And then afterwards, people are just kind of sitting around. Eating. There's a red carpet. Everybody in Hollywood wants to get their pictures taken. It's like a schmoozy event. And Noam and I hit it off with some people who were talking, and I'm like, hey, we should connect, and we trade the social medias or the emails and the phone numbers. But I can't help myself. And when Jonathan's in a social situation and it's going well, because he doesn't actually have to have an in-depth conversation, he can just stay funny and cursory, then I feel like I can get away with silliness, because they've been laughing for the last hour. And so as I go to hug this person, and this is a joke I've been doing with my friends, as you start to see them again after the pandemic, I'll hug them like, hey, goodbye, give a hug, and then I'll whisper into the ear, I ain't getting no damn vaccine. Just like, you know, you have to say it with like a breathy voice and a little bit of an accent. And like let the hug hold a little bit till it'd be like, I got you. You know, like you're it kind of thing.
No one's me.
I ain't getting
nowhere near my
Feel free, Geekscapists, people you haven't seen in a while, maybe they don't know your play that game with them and just see how it goes. I just felt this person kind of like go stiff and be like, what the fuck?
Oh my god.
the world is my stage, boys.
Yeah. Well, Nate and I are not like that.
You know what? It's a game. Like, is this person going to punch me?
Yeah.
Game we like to play.
We actually got along immediately.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as we met, instant friends. And, like, we have a lot of little things in common that a lot of people don't have in. And one is Nate was on a submarine in the mm-hmm. Navy. And you don't find a lot of comedians that have done military service, especially sure. improvisers, that they just really don't overlap. And then I was in the Marines Reserves, and we both were in it, and we both hated it. So it was like perfect. It was like, hey, you hate this thing? I also hate this thing. Oh, let's talk about how much we hate this thing. But also, we're very proud that we are this thing.
It's a complicated relationship.
And it's like, do you understand this sad relationship? I understand this sad relationship. It's really great.
But how did those backgrounds help you in your comedic and like improv skills? Like, be like, but Nate, you got to think that like having a literal captive audience in this damn submarine.
I mean, I guess Nate. Like, Nate told me some. Would you like to tell him? Well, answer his question. Sorry, but then could you please tell funny sub stories?
So, like, I would work on stuff on the boat, right? That's kind of when I figured out I could be a comedian. I could do this, right? Like, not that I ever did anything, but that
and
I.
This
could,
is right out of high school or something.
Pretty much, yeah. Like the first year of college when I passed racquetball, and that was, you know, kind of it. So
that's a big time in everyone's life. I remember the first time I passed racquetball.
I was not a student at the time. So my car broke down in a strip mall, and I was waiting for my cousins to come tow it away. And there were four recruiting offices right there. And you know what? I had a moment of...
It's almost predatory how they're just in strip malls.
And the sailor walked out, so I walked in and joined. I went to boot camp 2 weeks later because my car broke down. That's a true story.
It was because you were like at a financial strait that you were like, you know what? Yeah. I got to figure out how to like fix this damn thing. I'm going to give them the next couple years of my life.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what happened. I was failing college, and I'm like, well, I don't know what else to do. My car is broken down in this strip mall with the recruiting offices. I took it as a sign, so I joined the Navy.
Insane.
Holy insane. Crap.
My dad basically forced me, and I did it to pay for college. So we had exact opposite.
That's responsible, but you know, your dad forced you just because he didn't want to pay for college, or that was a good option to help him out, or what?
My grandpa served in the Army during World War II, and my grandpa... Is that right during World War II?
I don't know. Did I make that up?
Yeah, that would be a grandpa. Right. If you and I are similar
days. He was born in 1918.
1918 would be World War II, yes.
Yeah, he was World War II. He was in the Army in World War II, paratrooper. And then my dad was in the Marines on an aircraft carrier, like an old diesel aircraft carrier.
Yeah. And that would have been
when it came to me, I was like, clearly not the person. Like, not... It's not for me. It's not the environment I enjoy being in, the military, let alone the Marines, which are just insanely over the top. And it's all about murdering people. And it's just really not my jam. But at the time I signed up August 2001, thinking that there would be little chance of going to war, and I will just have to do my 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. And then September 11th happened, and I didn't know at the time that the contract you sign doesn't matter until you go to boot camp, and then once you sign, that's your real contract. So I could have got out at any time. I didn't know that, but also at the time, everyone was very patriotic, and I felt like I was doing the right thing. And then my thing is all like, then, you know, we invade Iraq, has nothing to do with any of that. And it's a complicated thing. So, yeah, Nate and I have this complicated relationship with the military. For me, it really didn't help me out because none of the Marines found it funny.
That siren means Matt just added another show to the network. So way to go, Matt.
Anyway, but Nate was able to get some really funny stories because he was just in a submarine underwater. Yeah. So
there's nothing to do.
Yeah, nothing at all. It turns out I'm really good at annoying people.
y'all were funny in high school or in college before this, right? Like, it's not like you weren't funny and then suddenly you're stuck in a tin can in the ocean.
I've always been, I've tried to make jokes pretty much, it was my way of coping with everything. And, I've just sort of always kind of been the funny guy. So, on the boat, there's one short story I'll tell. We had the cruise mess is where we would all eat lunch and dinner, right? The crew was we would play games, all this kind of stuff. Well, anyways, we had one boss come on, this chief, and he forbade us from using the cruise mess on Sundays unless we were eating or in a church service, right? Sure. So, we get one day off when you're underwater. That's Sunday. So basically, you took away our day off. The whole crew is very, very upset. So we pulled into port 2 days later. I got my best friend at the time, this guy named Curtis Bell. And we went to a Walmart and we bought a bunch of supplies. We get back down on the boat. The first Sunday that comes up, I set up in the cruise mess. I've got a big black cloak. I've got a bunch of little candles and a Ouija board. And so we started worshiping the devil. We're going oh, devil. Yeah, real dumb, dumb, dumb stuff. Oh, devil, please grant us blah, blah, blah. Anyways, they come, everybody flips out. And, we're like, well, yeah, you said we could worship. We love the devil now.
Yeah, I was thinking they were probably thinking something a little more Judeo-Christian, but they didn't specify, and that's on them.
Not. Yeah, so it's on them. Hey, so
this is a Satan household.
Yeah.
I walk in on Nate. Sometimes there's a lot of pig's blood. I will say
we got the cruise mess back the next week. So, the devil did something for me.
This is I'm trying to keep us alive here, okay?
What side do you think God is on?
We are in a giant machine built to kill people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you really think that we're on God's side here?
Yeah. No. We're even close.
This is a killing machine.
Yeah. We're so close to hell.
Let me tell you a few things I know about Jesus. One, didn't go underwater.
He walked on water.
He walked on it. He wouldn't touch the stuff.
He
turned it into wine. He didn't. He was like, yeah. Wow, I never, water.
What story did you hear about where he had tried to kill somebody?
he definitely never popped out of the water like a ninja or a submarine and tried to kill somebody.
That is true. Yeah.
No.
And also, when that happens, when the sub does that, it's so much fun. When it pops out of the water like that, it is a blast.
Because it goes up at an angle, right? Like in the movies?
Sharp angle. You're standing.
And then you slam down or what?
Yeah. So it pops up. You feel weightless for just a split second. Then you do a boosh, and then the whole boat does this. And then you do this the whole time you're on the surface. You get real used to just rocking. But
dang, yeah. It's a tube.
Yeah.
And Bacon, you never got in trouble in the military for being funny guy? Of course you did.
It's just I shouldn't have gone in. My last name is Bacon. I'm 6'6". My hair color is the color of skin. I have a dominant brow ridge. All these things that are just easily to point me out of a crowd. I got called out all the time. Targeted. Probably the funniest story from boot camp was when you go to the chow hall. You still don't have a break to eat lunch. You go to the chow hall and you're still in Marine boot camp mode. You still have to be when you go up to get your food, you have to say, for breakfast, you have two choices of sausage or bacon. I didn't enjoy the bacon that they had at boot camp because they didn't cook it, really.
They didn't in the Navy either.
Yeah. I think that's just the whole military thing. They're like, this is how you cook bacon. And there's you have to read this government document that's from 1900 when they're just eating raw pork is good for you.
It's the only thing they don't have time for.
Yeah,
bacon.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's done. It's wet. Do you like it wet? How do you like a? How wet do you like your bacon?
I would the wettest. Please.
Yeah, it's wetter than a pickle.
Mm, delicious.
Anyway, so didn't like the bacon. Is what I'm trying to get at. And I would usually get the sausage because that was already like pre-cooked. So
impossible to fuck up.
Impossible, right?
And it's like still cooking kind of in the water too, right? Like
yeah,
the
yeah. Water it'll the steam in there at least. Yeah. Stuff,
at least, yeah.
Yeah, but usually the
there's enough salt.
I can't believe you're starting to remind
me. They're trying to turn you into killers.
Yeah,
they're like, we'll destroy everything. They'll burn the damn earth down. So what happened?
So I get sausage, and you have to be like, to pick your choice, sausage recruit. And they give you your sausage, and you move down, and your elbows have to be tight, just like you're holding your weapon, and you move all the way down, and you get to pick between things, and you say, like, toast recruit! And then you get your thing, and then you get to the end, and at the end
what's
of the
what's that last word?
Recruit.
Recruit.
Recruit?
Yeah, so everything is something recruit. We would have to say recruit. Semen recruit.
Oh, toast. Toast.
We were talking to, so there was another recruit on the other side. I went through when you went through boot camp, you also had to do a week of the chow hall stuff, but they got rid of that because now it's all private contractors. But that's neither here nor there. So I'm trying to make this story not an hour long.
No, we got time.
If they were a recruit on the side, you would call them recruit, and then you can't even say like me or I or we. You would say this recruit, because you didn't. You couldn't say like, "Hey, you." If you said that to a drill instructor, you would no longer be alive.
Yeah, you would be dead.
Yeah, they'd be like, "I'm a you. I'm a sheep," and they yell at you.
Oh, they got a sense of humor too. Yeah, Jesus,
the burns that they have are really, really great. Anyway, so you go to the end of the line, and the drill instructor is at the end, and he has to check everyone's food to make sure, like, if you know you're not, if you're supposed to have double portions, or you're supposed to have less.
I was on half,
or supposed to be cooked. Like, fuck, like
that was not part.
No,
see if
the most important thing. No, is it edible? No,
no, that was never.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was even taken into consideration.
And this is so. Then he gets it, and you go, "Good morning, sir." And then he tells you to fuck off, and then you go sit down. But. I think this was a Sunday, so they had extra time, and that was the worst day in boot camp, is when you woke up and there wasn't a lot planned, and you're like, oh God,
they're gonna get creative. Yeah,
we could do whatever they want. So this was a Sunday, and I get to the end, and he goes, what the fuck is this? And he holds up the little half-cooked sausage, and I go, sausage, sir. And he goes, what the fuck is this? And he points at my name tag and goes, recruit bacon, sir. It's like, go back and get yourself. So I had to go back in the line and get the bacon. So I get the bacon recruit. Got it. Go to
just
the front.
To entertain this fucker.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the fun story. So I get to the end and he goes, what the fuck is this? And he holds up the bacon as it's dripping, just water is pouring out of it, like he opened up a clam or something. And I said, that's bacon, sir. And he goes, that's not enough for all of this. Go back and get yourself. So I had to go back, and they basically gave me like whatever was left in the tray, like this pile of floppy, saggy bacon. And then I was able to go sit down, and you have to finish everything on your plate. So I had to eat, but this is like, I think this is like week 9 in boot camp.
Yeah.
So like, I am rail thin. I think I'm like 190 pounds. My stomach is the like size of a walnut. I gullet this soggy bacon down, and then we all have to like run outside to get in formation. And as I'm running to get out in formation, I'm just throwing up the bacon. And in Marine boot camp, you can't spit on the ground. You can't throw up. You can't do any of that stuff. So if somebody like spit when they were running, they'd make them go back and pick it up. They'd say like, find it and pick it up and put it in your pocket. They made me pick up all my throw up and put it in my pockets. Like all my pockets throughout the day. And I think we had to go to a classroom that day. Anyway, that's not even the worst part. The worst part is you don't even get a washer dryer in boot camp. you have to wash your own clothes with like a brush and some soap out on a piece of concrete and a water spigot. And I had to like turn my pockets inside out and get all that bacon out of there.
Jesus.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
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 But a part of me is like, okay, well, how'd that asshole end up on like dinner duty too? You know what I mean? Like that's what you kind of realize is like that guy was a fuck up of his own. You know what I mean? Like,
No, that's just what they do to you. That's all three of them will. They really break you down, get your mind like so you could function when shit is hitting the fan. So that's really all I've learned is like when things go down or like when stuff gets tense, I'm like laser focused. Like a car caught on fire in the backyard of 91 Donkey Lane.
And that was true. That actually happened.
Yeah, this
like the third week of quarantine.
Yeah.
Our neighbor's car started on fire.
Just a big truck started on fire. And it was like the middle of the night. And I opened up my eyes and I instantly knew everything that was going on. And I was already calling the police before my girlfriend was even awake. Whoa. She's like, what's going on?
So I'm like, back car's to
on fire.
I'm going to try and puke on it.
I have some soap in my pockets.
So I mean, yeah. I'm going to butcher this in trying to describe the show, but it's you two living together in a in the apartment that we see now. This y'all are roommates, but it is a magical place.
Yes,
and doorways can have anything going on, like anything goes in 91 Donkey Lane.
Yep,
we have several sub basements with creatures and magical items. And upstairs, tiles. If you step on a tile, there's a truth-telling tile. There's a pee-your-pants tile. That one is really annoying.
How much of this is, like, how much of this are y'all just kind of, like, roommates living your day-to-day, and then something in the apartment kind of just motivates you to turn it into a storyline or an improvisational
piece? We sort of look for anything, right? If we're having a conversation and we start, like, we do a lot of bits together, you know, we'll just throw jokes around, just trying to figure out what works. And if we find something we really like, we immediately stop talking about it. And then we just figure out a time to come record. Yeah, because once we get an idea, you know, we can just kind of roll with it from there.
And it's not as fun to us if we like sit back there and do like the writer's room and knock it out, because we start saying things to each other and then we go, stop. We like, let's go record. Yep. So, because then it's just trying to get each other to laugh. And it's really fun because Nate and I actually really enjoy each other's company. We're roommates for a reason. We're great friends. He is in my wedding. But being on the podcast and like fake hating each other is so much fun.
It is a lot of fun, right? Like figuring out what dynamic works for us. I really, really enjoy the show. As we knew we wanted to do something improvised and we knew we wanted to kind of make it like an anything goes sort of thing. We figured magic was the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. But like the dumb parts of magic, you know,
we're always like magic can never be cool. Like that's one of our rules of like every time the thing that I think what we talked about when we were talking about making the show is like anytime you see magic in a movie and TV and in pop culture in books, it's usually like this cool thing and oh, there's so much greatness about it, and we're like, let's break it down.
Like what if it sucked, you know?
Like
it's a very majestic thing and it's almost elitism, like where it's like, oh, you have to train to be a magician, or you have to
go
go to a school for it, or you have to be in the castle.
The castle is like private, like, only, you know, it's ridiculous.
Hogwarts. No. That school, it's a private school, right? You have to be invited.
It's very snobby to be a magician, unless you're like Nate on a submarine and you're doing the dark arts.
Well, you know, well, the devil answers prayers. That's all I'm saying. That's the official Geekscape take.
I thought the same thing about, you know, vampires, and vampires are always like the snootiest monsters because they're up in their castles or they're elite and they always have like a ball and this and that. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. These guys can't hold jobs. They can't go out in the day.
What we do in the shadows. Perfectly. Yes. That's like
they should just be losers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
We one of our favorite shows is What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, no, being a vampire would be annoying.
There's no way you would be successful at anything because
yeah.
And so magic to y'all in the show is more of an annoyance
Yeah.
But it is, but it's part, but like, it's part of paying the rent. Like, it's the, that's it where y'all live.
Yeah. It absolutely pays the rent.
Well, that was the original premise, but things did change when one of our guests made, like, this is all, cause we, so this is all improvised. And we just, if you say it, it's true.
It's true.
On our show.
And we have to remember it.
Yeah. Forever. Well, we try to remember it.
It's canon. Mean,
good
yeah.
God. Good God. I don't know the rules. So, one of our guests, James Dugan. Was it?
I can't remember.
One of our guests made Nate a wizard, or like, just planted the seed of the wizard. So then that completely changed the show, and that was pretty early on, actually.
Yeah. So in the show, I'm a very, my character is very, very lazy, very sexually free, and a full
bears,
wizard now.
Snails himself.
It's yeah. So it snowballed into this like ridiculous version of myself, you know. And he's still named Nate, and like, you know, and I don't change anything about my voice for him. So
but it's all hedonism, and then suddenly
that's exactly what it is. It's purely the id, right? And so Bacon is a really, really great like opposite foil. Side, yeah, foil to that kind of character. It just it works, man. I just really like what Bacon does.
And then suddenly you've got this little kernel of maybe you have some magic power.
For
Yep. And then just giving Nate magic powers and then making it so I don't and that I hate it so much and that Nate does everything the way that I wouldn't do it. It's just so much fun to play.
It really is.
And Nate,
where did the idea come from? Like, did it come in when y'all were like moving in together? How long have y'all been living together that you're like, hey, let's make a semi autobiographical podcast about our lives, but with fictional elements?
So the idea kind of sprung from the dumbest thing in the world. I was living in Austin, Bacon was in Chicago, and our mutual friend we talked about was in Boston. We watched this stupid reality show,
The Proposal.
It was hosted by Jesse Palmer, and there would be 30 bachelors or 30 bachelorettes, and one person who is going to propose or get proposed to at the end of this half-hour reality show.
And they don't see them at first.
Yeah, no.
The person who does, the main person, is behind what looks like a World Series trophy.
We're getting deep into proposal lore.
I don't see how this works. Like, it's a lot of fucking people.
It's so many people.
It gets cut right away, right in the beginning.
It's basically just like looks, right? Like, it's like, I don't like the way you look. Looks. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you look.
Well, the first round is all about looks, and then they try to make it like, and now let's get into like the real bits about them.
It's so stupid, but we would watch this over the PlayStation 4 network and just throw bits at each other. And it would take us 4 hours to watch this 45-minute show, right? Yeah. And so Bacon and I, we started talking like there's, because we had some bits rolling around in there that
One of the bits that went from that's on the show is the way that we speak in like fake legalese, really shitty legalese, because that came in of like, every time you watch like a lawyer TV show, it's all wrong.
It's all stupid, right?
Yeah. So we like just take it to the max every time somebody would say something and be like, Your Honor, I disagree.
So that was just from watching this stupid show. So, you know,
but y'all are like making these bits, but like, where the hell are the bits going? You know, it's like a part of me is like, okay, you're writing the bits, but are you doing it to write a script? Are you doing it to put on stage together? Y'all are living like, you know, miles apart. Like, the bits are going to lead to what?
Well, they kind of led, you know, I knew I was going to move back to Boston, right? And Bacon kind of decided to move here at the same time. So we sort of, when we figured out we were going to move in together, we're like, well, you got all the recording equipment, you know?
And it was always going to be a podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was easy. It was like, hey, and I was leaving behind a podcast.
Yeah.
The Adam Sandler Please Stop. And, you know, I'm just like, hey, guys, it's going to be too difficult. Imagine not being in the same room as somebody and trying to do a podcast.
Guys, I'm stretched too thin.
I'm sorry. I couldn't fly him.
Talking about pop culture, it's really, I'm sorry.
How far we've come in 2019.
Yeah.
That idea was like frowned upon. And now it's like, 91 Donkey Lane is going to continue.
Yeah, it's going to continue.
Jason Bush hey, Jason, how are you, man? He's in the YouTube, and he's like OG Geek Drum fan. That was the That was the show I did before Geekscape. So that, wow. that dude's 16 years ago. So what's up, Jason? How are you?
That's either a true fan or a stalker. Yeah, stalker. Yeah. Yeah, one of the two.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, well, you can tell by the letter you get if it's printed out. Or if it's cut out letters from a magazine, that'll tell you.
Yeah, you know what? I anytime anybody listens to one episode, watches one episode, or whatever, or is like Matt Kelly and has been here, you know, since the beginning of Geekscape and stuff like that. Like, I'm just down for that.
Honestly, we are too. Yeah,
people don't need to listen to everything. And I know I was telling this to the Saturday Morning Showdown kids today at lunch. I said that we had this Bat Week where we had the executive producer of the new Batman film. Mm-hmm. We had Ian and I talking about the new Batman movie. And I was like, this is super, super concentrated comic book conversation. These numbers are going to do great. So it did not do as well as when I had the Stereo on a week earlier, where those boys are a rock band that has been defunct for over 10 years and are now getting together to put out a new album after over a decade. But back in like 1999, 2000, they were one of the hot new bands that were going to be part of that new emo thing that was going to go into the early 2000s. And they just never clicked in. They just, they saw like Fall Out Boy and all these other bands just kind of, and that got more numbers than the Batman thing. I just don't know how this shit works after 15 years. So I'm just glad people come in, whether it's like Jason coming back after 15 years or Bolt T who's here whenever we broadcast, like, just, you know, thankful to have people who care, even if it's just for an episode or two.
It is cool. We do have some fans who like one or two who reach out from crazy places. It's the weirdest feeling. Like our audienceship is still very, very small, but having people reach out, yeah, man, it's awesome.
Especially now since our 100th episode is coming out.
Yep.
I haven't told you this, Nate, but we've gotten a couple messages, like a couple emails, and and then we've gotten a bunch of voicemail messages. Actually, if you're listening to this, you can. We're still have like a week.
Yeah.
Before we record our 100th episode, you can give us a call on our phone number. It's 6363 Donkey. That goes right to our voicemail message, and you could leave us a voicemail. You could be a character. You could be like a bat calling
that would
about
be cool.
keys that you left at our house or something.
Yeah, and bats need keys.
Bats need for their batmobiles.
Exactly, because the sonar doesn't work.
Exactly, and that's the joke. So write that down. And here you go, Mr. Conan O'Brien. I will take my check.
There we go. I threw the number up on the screen.
The real number is
impossible.
It's 636.
It's like 6363. It's so bad.
It's been 3 years. Still don't have it memorized because it's literally impossible. Here it is. It's 636-336-6539.
That's such a bad number.
It's a bad number, but 6363 Donkey.
That's a good number.
That's kind of crazy. And you put that in on purpose. You didn't miraculously end up with a number that just spelled out donkey, I'm hoping.
No, I googled how to, like, what numbers on a keypad give you a certain thing, and then I went on Google Voice and I picked that exact one, and 6363 donkey was the only one that had donkey in it.
Yeah.
So Matt says you gotta ask Bacon the Forrest Gump bit.
Oh, okay. Nate, you were part of this bit.
Yeah.
It's called Forrest Hump.
Uh-huh.
It's a very classy bit. And we did this at a one-off show called Kerfuffle here.
Yeah, it's a little variety show here in Boston. Yeah.
And what we did was, it was Tom Hanks night at the strip club.
Uh-huh.
And Nate was the MC.
That's the premise.
That's the premise.
This weird ass fucking club y'all are in. That's just
we roll fucking hard in Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if there is one, I will be there. Tom Hanks night at a strip club.
I would go see that.
I would go there.
Yeah. Our bit, I was the DJ. I was the main guy at this Tom Hanks themed strip club, right? So I started calling. My whole job in this was very, very easy. It was just to make dick puns out of
Like the
Tom
first
Hanks movies.
The first guy out there was Blastaway, and he was dressed as Tom Hanks in the movie Castaway.
That's right. I forgot. We pulled a guy out of the audience to wear his underwear and hold a volleyball.
And hold a volleyball.
And then Splash is just like, that's just too easy.
That's yeah. Like, that's, and like Toys was another one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Toy Story, I mean, yeah.
Anyway, so then he calls me out. I'm Forrest Hump. And the whole thing is like, I do a strip dance to that.
Yeah, the feather one.
But it's a remix. It's a hard remix.
Yep.
You know, a good remix. A thick remix. And it ends with me with those running shoes on and long socks and tidy whities. And I do to someone on stage, I do the whole monologue that Forrest does to Jenny's grave.
So the host of this show,
it's like the heart of the movie, that's like the climax of the movie, where he's like, he's turned into such a good kid, and like he's so smart,
he's so smart.
You died on a Saturday morning.
but this isn't a podcast where you're talking about. This is shit that you actually did on stage.
Yeah, this is a stage show.
Yeah, this is costume
people.
Yeah, there's 100 people.
100 people.
Yeah. The host of the show is a good friend of mine. She was the
still.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She was the lady who was asked to come up on stage.
Yeah, so she got the lap dance, and she got the funeral.
Yeah.
The funeral
and the best part was, he wrote you a letter, and then I go in the back of my tidy whities, and I pull out a card, and it says, "To Mommy." And I give it to her. And then the last bit was, the music starts again, and then when I reach into my pants and the audience thinks I'm going to pull out my penis, but I would not do such a thing. I pull out a white feather.
It dances off stage.
And I dance off stage.
And then I do more.
Oh, then you're like, oh yeah, we did more Forrest Gump dick puns. Yep. That's all it was.
Well, that was my job. I got the easy job.
What the hell do y'all do for work?
I am, a senior technical trainer for Applied Materials. I'm a semiconductor instructor. Today.
So does anybody understand what he just said?
No, no one does.
Somebody's going to learn how to use those semiconductors.
from what I understand, Nate, you work at the place that makes the tools that make semiconductors.
Yes.
So Nate knows how the tools work that make semiconductors.
Yes.
And he trains people.
Yes, and I train people all over the world to do that.
And
it pays the bills.
Yeah.
And how much do you have to delineate the improv from the job? Because it's maybe not like going into the mess hall and
walking around. It makes me a better instructor. You know, I'm able to talk to anyone. I can talk about anything. I'm a real great bullshitter when I need to be, you know. So.
And do people discover it? Like, I've had situations as a college professor where people are like, I mean, just the first day of class, I've had this happen where I'm going through the syllabus or I'm going around class meeting the students on the first day of the quarter. And they go, hold on. Geekscape. And I go, excuse me? And they're like, I listened to I should have made the connection when that's I saw awesome. the name on the class. Like, you do Geekscape. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a problem for the next 11 weeks or whatever. Like, cool.
Yeah.
But eventually some of the kids end up listening to, or like Garrett Briones, he ends up doing a podcast. And Jack, they end up doing a podcast on the network. We have ex-students and of mine end up working with it. But it is always coming as a shock when people are like, oh, I listened to the podcast.
It's happened to me once, and it was a friend at the gym, and not really a friend, a person
up,
at the gym. He's like, oh, it's weird hearing your voice like this. Like, it just doesn't happen to me I'm small stuff, right? But when they do find out I do comedy, it's always we'll tell a joke, you know. I'm kind of that.
And the guy at the gym did that.
No. He
okay.
The guy at the gym.
If he likes the podcast, he's not the kind of guy who would do that.
Yeah, no.
Tell me a joke. Be like, we don't tell jokes on that.
Yeah, we need a bit. We need something. Like, let's give us a minute. Yeah, we gotta find.
Want me
bit.
To do a bit? Okay, I can do a bit.
The guy at the gym didn't know I went to the gym, and he's like, "I, your voice." And then, it was 91 Donkey Lane. But he'd been
never seen you in person.
No. But he was passed the podcast by a friend of mine, so we had a mutual. So
okay.
I don't know if I count it, but. That's the only time it's ever happened to me, ever.
I'm going to put that. Let's count that one. Let's count that one. That one goes in there.
I count.
And think, what do you do?
I'm a video producer. Okay. So that's what I've done my entire adult career. So I work for this company. It's a white label company. So we do basically all the tech and all the call centers and all the stuff that's needed for roadside assistance. So if you have like State Farm or Progressive, or you get a new Ford and you get roadside assistance, that's actually my company. We like do all the behind the scenes stuff. So what I do is I have to make these videos to like sell our products to different companies. Or like next week I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to the Ford plant to do some specific towing videos on their new EVs, because electric vehicles have like a totally different way that they need to be towed. Otherwise they get ruined.
Rip the front off of the damn thing.
Oh, that's not even, it's not the motor. It's really the motors the tires and stuff. So there's
over winding up a car. When you have a wind up car, when it goes into the click clicks, it's bad.
Yeah, that's when it goes bad.
So it's always been great to have a job like this where I could do creative things, not really that creative, you know.
There's some parameter.
It's all corporate, you know, but it pays the bills, and it's not like if I wanted to work at like an agency, or then you're really being put through the ringer, or if I wanted to work for like a TV show or something. So this allows me to live a life and still be able to do my comedy. And when I was in Chicago, I was doing a TV and commercial auditions and voiceover auditions. And I'm going to be doing that when I go back there. So it's nice to have a job where I could be like, I'm going to go take off for 2 hours during the middle of the day. And they're like, just finish that video. I don't care.
You know? But the end goal for this is like, y'all want to end up like making a show or doing a comedy thing, like, right? Like,
I think there's if the opportunity arose, I don't think either one of us would turn it down.
No,
yeah,
never in a million.
But it's not something you like. I'm not like, you're not like the asshole in LA like I am, being like, mm-hmm. hey, just keep scratching that lotto ticket, maybe tomorrow. Like, that's not something y'all are that's not part of the tunnel vision.
Not right now. At this point, man, I just like doing comedy with Bacon. Yeah. You know, I think we have something that just kind of works, you know, and I really, if we're making something that I still enjoy listening to, you know, and I'm real proud of this work we've done. So I'm like,
and it's fun.
And it's just fun.
It's just so much fun. This is us playing pickup basketball.
Yeah,
this
is us. It really is. It blows my mind that people actually listen to it. You know, I think that's such a cool little chair.
Better your mind than your knee.
Yeah.
I've had that happen twice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, better blow your mind than a knee.
Exactly.
As we get older, let's do that instead of pickup basketball. It's a very healthy thing to do.
Our podcast and stop playing basketball.
There you go.
That's an official Geekscape. That's
official Geekscape rule.
Why are you playing sports?
Stop playing sports. We're all against all sport.
That's right.
We should make that on our. We should definitely put that on the pod. That's a new shirt for the podcast for the San Diego Comic-Con group. When I was asking you, Bacon, like what we should talk about on this episode, because I knew we were just going to freewheel it. I know that. Like, it was kind of a dead weekend at movies. There wasn't a whole lot of going on. And then I don't think y'all are like up to date on the comic stuff. So the news and reviews stuff, that goes out the window. But I was like, what should we talk about? And you said you just saw this documentary called The Sweatbox. And I honestly thought you were freaking joking and being completely sarcastic in your email. Because you were like, I just watched this documentary about how Disney had Empire of the Sun turn into The Emperor's New Groove. And I was like, why would anybody make a documentary about that? And is that really a thing that happened?
Yeah.
And I dismissed it. I'll be honest. I like saw it and I was like, oh, that's kind of a weird joke, but okay. And then you wrote back and said, yeah, can we actually talk about the documentary? Because it's really good. And I just typed in The Sweatbox to like Google, like, I actually typed in Emperor's New Groove documentary, and I found the Wikipedia for The Sweatbox. The story's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That I just thought Emperor's New Groove was Emperor's New Groove, and it was part of like Disney post 90s trying to find a new like thing that would work.
Yeah, but it was.
I've never actually seen the movie.
It was. Oh, you've never seen it?
I've never seen the movie. Yeah,
I think it's really good. Still,
I think it's funny. I think it's funny.
That's the best part about learning about this.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who don't know, The Emperor's New Groove was originally called Kingdom of the Sun, and it was supposed to be a big epic movie a la The Lion King. They even got the Lion King director and another guy to work together. Sorry, I don't know a lot of names. I forget.
But they also got Sting was going to do the music.
That was the thing. So they're like, all right, so what we're going to do is we're going to do The Lion King, except for it's going to be in South America. And instead of Elton John, we're going to get the Sting man himself.
Famous South American.
Famous South American. Well,
imagine if they got Sting for like, imagine if they had Sting for Encanto or something. Yeah.
This is the way they thought.
Lilo and Stitch.
Not that Moana was necessarily done by a Polynesian, but whatever.
So this was the original idea. Big thing, right? Okay. And Sting's wife, because he was asked to do this, decided, you know, I'm going to do the behind the scenes, help make this documentary about Sting making the music for this South American Lion King, essentially.
Yeah.
But the story was, it was the Prince and the Pauper, where there's a prince and he's really stuck up and he's really vain. And he finds another guy that looks exactly like him, and they switch places so he could do all the hard work and he could do all the fun stuff. But then he gets turned into a llama, and it's him working his way back is the original story. And there's also a lot of mythology thrown in there, and it's like this big epic story.
That actually sounds great.
Yeah,
that does sound wonderful.
Yeah, but Sting does all the music.
I mean, I'm right? still a Sting fan. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm still there. Well, he has like two good songs.
You're still stung.
I'm going to say this. I'm not a huge Sting music fan, but after watching the documentary, huge Sting as a person fan.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's a legit dude.
You watch this documentary and it's clear just through this whole documentary that Disney is mismanaged. They don't know what they're doing. They're putting their writers and their animators through the ringer when they don't need to. And they talk to these animators who are all in charge of one specific character, like Yzma. And this guy is like really into Yzma. And there's so much to Yzma's character. And it's Eartha Kitt, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Is the voice, is the voice Eartha Kitt? Yeah. And Eartha Kitt brought so much to this role and so much to this character, and he loved it so much, and they kept changing the movie over and over and over again until Yzma became basically a shell of herself, and the whole movie became just a farce and a movie that I really loved when it came out, and I still really love. It's a good movie. It's just like
straight up, but it's a straight up comedy, right? It's like David
comedy farce. Yeah. And it was supposed to be more than that. So you find out through this documentary all this stuff. One of the best parts about it is every time they go back to Sting, because it takes like years to go through this. And every time they go back to Sting, he's in some different country. He's like, and then it's like, let's go. Where's Sting? Ah, he's in Peru. And then he's like, and then, where's Sting now? He's in Australia. Yeah. And then and it's Sting complaining about how the guys at Disney aren't telling him anything. The higher ups at Disney make them make these whole storyboarded movies, and then they completely change everything. At the end of the movie, the higher ups are all like, I really enjoy this creative process. And all the animators are like, this was complete and utter hell. I hate it.
They're not the ones in the trenches.
Yeah.
So it really just totally encapsulates like why a lot of those movies during that time at Disney were just such a mess. And not because it started.
But they're trying to hit that magic again. I think one of the best Disney documentaries again is that Waking Sleeping Beauty, about how they entered into that era of the Aladdin, Lion King,
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid, because they were like, you know what? Let's shutter the animation division. It's all about live action. That's where we're making our money. And then the Eisner-Katzenberg partnership came in, and they were like, hey, let's actually try and fix this. And I think Waking Sleeping Beauty is great. This sounds awesome, but this also sounds like something that's not available. Where could I even see this documentary?
Thank you for asking. I also thought that it was unavailable because
it sounds like something that would shame the parent company and be like, hey, look how your history was mismanaged.
This is what makes the documentary that much more sweet, is because it was commissioned by Disney, this behind the scenes documentary, Disney owns the rights to it. So they're never going to officially release something that shits all over them. You could watch it for free on the Internet Archive. You just type in the Sweatbox download or the Sweatbox movie watch, and it's on Internet Archive for free. this
yeah. only that's thing at archive.org. That's that archive.org yeah. site. That's like archive.org. All the public domain stuff. Yeah.
Yep. And it, because you get to watch it and it's not the complete final cut. They haven't put in all the music yet. There's a time code at the bottom. It's 360p, but it's interesting enough and the sound quality is good enough that we really enjoyed it. I watched it with my fiance and she had never seen Emperor's New Groove and she loved the documentary. And then we watched Emperor's New Groove and she liked Emperor's New Groove. It kind of, she said it started.
Well, once you watch the documentary, you're like thinking about what could have been.
Yes. Yeah. But she still said like, it's insane how good that movie was considering where it started and how bad. That just shows how much talent Disney had.
Yeah, I mean, they may be Lion King, you know? Mm-hmm. They still had.
Well, hold on here, guys. Y'all live together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nate, you have... do you have a kid?
I have two kids, yeah.
Two kids. And then
there's one kid he likes.
Okay. But Bacon, you're about to get married again? Or married... That's me, about to get married again. But you're about to get married.
For the first time.
I've been married.
Does she live with y'all?
No. She comes on the weekends.
What the hell's going to happen here? Like, the 91 Donkey Lane's going to end up getting, like, a back house? Like, are y'all going to split the lane? What's going on?
This
is a very suspenseful thing.
Oh, I guess.
Have y'all thought about... Like what?
I guess on the podcast we never actually
addressed it. Yeah,
yeah. It came up that I was engaged, and I was like, "Why did we even bring that up?"
Oh, well, so the podcast is not stopping. Our 91 Donkey Lane. The world is going to keep going. Yeah,
yeah.
In Donkey Lane,
we're just going to do it remote.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah,
Bacon, are you moving to Chicago?
Yeah. Just announced it on social media because we're going through the home buying process, which is a nightmare.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you ended up being a magician. So like, whatever. You ended up with magic powers.
Yeah. So Ruth and I have are purchasing a place in the Buena Park neighborhood of Chicago. And I'm going to be setting up a whole new studio in that space. Really excited to do that. Nate's going to get just the same microphones that we have now and a little mixer, and then we'll just do it remotely. And I bet you no one will even know the difference.
Nate, how are you feeling about this? Any trepidation on the magic still being there?
I think, you know,
or are you going to have to watch the proposal?
Exactly.
You know, the way it started and stuff. Yeah. It feels like it's just an extension, but we'll probably watch. If the proposal ever comes to season two, there is a 100% chance we'll watch it.
And we might podcast that.
Yeah, we absolutely would watch. Oh man, it's such a terrible show. I love it so much.
It's everything wrong with humanity.
I think I'm gonna watch Emperor's New Groove before I watch that. You should. But you never know. Ian Kerner and I are gonna sit down for a little bit of Morbius here. So
the proposal started out as a movie called Empire of the Moon.
But the people over at Fox really screwed it all up.
Well, dude, congrats on the proposal. Not the show. Congrats on the engagement and the impending nuptials. And congrats on the next life shift. And Nate, get it together.
You know what? I did once. Wasn't for me. Yeah. Wasn't for me, Jonathan.
You already have the kids.
You don't need to get married.
Yeah, we did not have kids in my first marriage. And
that was smart. That means you still have money.
We had Matt Kelly.
Oh, and,
I kept Matt Kelly.
Hey, wow. Look at that.
Look at that.
Wow.
And even though you passed by that fire department every day, you still didn't drop him off. Huh?
My condolences.
Yeah.
And Matt Kelly's still with us. So I think I won that one. I think I got the better end of that one. Maybe. We love Matt. And you know what? Matt brought you guys to us here at the Geekscape Network, so I'm happy to have you.
We're happy to be here, man. Y'all take good
care of us. Geekscapists, please subscribe to 91 Donkey Lane, especially since you're getting to their fifth
episode. Spectacular. Trademark, and also fuck Ira Glass trademark.
Y'all can find it on any podcast app. Please do. And then Bacon's got a YouTube channel, which is fantastic because I mean, he threw some attention to my beloved Utah Jazz. So I'm indebted to him on that.
I'm also a Utah Jazz fan.
I watched Kevin Durant rip them in the third quarter last night.
Yeah, that was terrible. Was fun, no, but no, they're going to get bounced in the second round again, aren't they?
It's going to be a blood sport. I was telling my dad yesterday, I was like, West is looking for like a 2-8 blood sport right about now. So we'll see. Maybe Nate may start a Utah Jazz podcast on the Geekscape Network. Could.
We're the only two fans. So awesome, Wilford. We're two
fans. And fellow comedian John Cleese.
That's right, John Cleese.
And I'm not messing around with that. I've never been prouder than when John Cleese totally dunked on Luka Doncic for punching Donovan Mitchell in the face a few weeks ago and ripped him on Twitter. And I was like, John Cleese stepping up for our guy. Let's go.
I think he's the face of our franchise right now as far as fans go. Wilford Brimley's gone. So we got
Wilford Brimley's gone, and we're not going to do any of the politicians in Utah. Yeah, let's go.
Thank you. Yeah,
No, thanks. There's
a reason we live on the coasts.
Well, guys, this has been awesome. It's been great getting to know y'all. Now that you've only been on the network a few years. Geekscape is serious. Get to know the boys, and I think y'all can jump in on any episode. You don't have to go back.
Pretty much can. You'll get the gist real quick. Yeah. It's not that smart.
It's not that smart. I mean, if there's one, I think Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer
or Total Recall.
Love the Snowpiercer episode.
Yeah. I think
y'all are in Snowpiercer, fighting your ways up the Snowpiercer.
And it would be like, what is real Snowpiercer? Real Snowpiercer would have a bathroom every other cart. One.
There'd have to be
a
bathroom.
You have to. Come on, Snowpiercer. Where's the bathrooms?
It's too cold outside to hang your ass out the window.
Exactly.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
Come on. Yep.
That was your intestines ridiculous. Would freeze and your poop would pop. That's science.
I was screaming in the theater.
You know my other problem with that movie? They set up that they were feeding the poor people dead bodies. They telegraphed that for train cars. And then it was bugs? Where did the bugs come
my
from?
My biggest problem was they were like, we got to get to our kids. Got to get to our... Ooh, sushi.
Yeah.
And they just fucking like the kids can chill. I don't know if these kids are getting mutilated, killed, fed to bugs. I don't know what the kids are doing. Like they're so insistent on finding these kids. And then they get to the train car with sushi and they're like, what kids?
Exactly.
Oh, man. I was like, wait, let's stay
That's a real tough movie once you think about it like that much.
And you got to. You got to.
Have to. Yeah, yeah.
You want a realistic Batman? You're going to take some hits.
It's a really allegory for society. Yeah.
I want to know, like, the hot tub room. Do you just stay there forever? I don't know. God, it's so weird.
Who cleans the hot tub room?
Yeah.
Where does that water come from?
Hot tub room should be right next to snow pile room. So you can run out of hot tub, go into snow pile room, run back.
I didn't understand any of it, man.
Yeah.
Not a bit.
Not a single bit.
I'd watch it again.
But I think the best, no offense, it's Snowpiercer, and obviously that dude is an Oscar winner now with the Parasite. He's an incredible filmmaker, but my favorite thing that has come from Snowpiercer is that episode of 91 DocuLane. So Geekscape, maybe search for that on your favorite podcatcher and go start there.
It's a very fun episode. Very, very fun.
Guys, thanks for joining us. Like this is the network. We got 20 plus shows, and they range from pro wrestling to comedy to music to horror movies to filmmaking and all sorts of stuff. So just come check out anything. Search for Geekscape on your favorite podcatcher and find us on social media. The 91 Donkey Lane boys are very active on Instagram at...
Yes, we are.
Donkey Lane?
Yeah, it's at Donkey Lane.
At Donkey Lane is our Instagram. Every episode that we release, I draw a crude drawing on my iPad and I post it.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, we have arguments on the comments. We do have a subreddit that we
we barely use. Yeah, there's a 91 Donkey.
We use that to argue too.
Yeah, mostly just different forms of arguing. That's all it is.
Well, Geekscape is. You can also find Geekscape. Just search for anything search for Geekscape on social media. You'll find us. My favorite place to talk to y'all is on the Geekscape Forever Facebook group. That one's fun, and obviously. We're on Instagram and Twitter and all this stuff, and wherever you're watching it, hit that little bell button and subscribe to Geekscape TV or our Twitch channel and get notified whenever we have another episode or Matt post another video. We're working on those around the clock. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
Au revoir, my friend. I ain't ever getting no vaccine. I'm kidding.
That's all right.
Oh, no.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah, that was a herald. Yeah.
That was a bit.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.